Well, today I want to talk to you about love, the God kind of love. You know, as I look across the landscape of the world today, it can be super concerning how angry that people are. Just take a drive down 71st Street and you will quickly realize people are very angry today. You know, just the other day I was in line at a coffee shop, and there was a long line. It was like wrapped around the building, and it was a really tight parking lot, and so there was somebody trying to back out. In order for them to back out, there had to be a break in the line because it was so tight. So it was a long line. The person in front of me moved up, so I paused a second so that the person could pull out of the parking lot. Well, apparently that was the wrong thing to do because the person behind me is just blaring on the horn. And I'm thinking, like, this line is wrapped around the building. Me moving up 2 feet is not really gonna matter. You know, but this person was angry. And, you know, I look in my rearview mirror and they're, you know, and doing all kinds of gestures that I can't do in church. So I'm not going to do them. And, you know, I kind of wanted to get really, like, angry. Like, I wanted to get out of the car and be like, what's your problem? Like, chill. But I then decided that, you know what? Maybe they're just having a really bad day. Maybe they got some really bad news today, you know? Or maybe they're going through a really tough situation. So you know what I'm going to do? When I get up to that window, I'm going to pay for their coffee. You know? And that's what we should be doing, right? Not what we want to do, but what God would do. Amen. And so, you know, we need to talk about this because I think that it's something that we need to make a choice daily to do. If you want to see anger, you can go on social media. And oh my goodness, the arguments, the, you know, the back and forth, the anger, the judgment. I mean, honestly, sometimes I go on and I like get the popcorn and I'm scrolling through the comments and I'm like, oh, you know. I mean, it is entertaining. However, it's also really disturbing and really sad, especially when I see spirit-filled, spirit-led, God-loving Christian people, pastors, ministers, arguing and just like blasting people on social media. It's really sad. In fact, there's a new study. It's a new emotion called internet anger. Okay, so we no longer just have like anger, like people anger. We have internet anger. All right. So internet anger is the fastest spreading emotion online. It spreads faster than fear or joy. Anger is now being termed as a viral emotion because it can be spread online. And it is found that people who made angry posts online or commented angry online were more likely to experience anger in their day-to-day life as well. Also, this study found that people online that were angry were more likely to say rude and mean things to a person that they would never say face to face to them because they can't see how a person reacts. They only see a computer screen. And they said that anger, even if you just read an angry post, that it can affect your mood and make you more likely to be angry all day long. I mean, and you look on social media and it is just filled with it. And, you know, I really begin to think about this and to pray about this. And I really feel like that we've lost some of our love walk in 2020, 2021, 2022. We've lost some of our kindness, even as God-loving people. And so I think we need to get back to studying about the love of God, reading about the love of God, and walking in the love of God. So let's go to the word today. Let's go to 1 John 4. We're going to start in verse 7. And I'm going to be reading this from the Amplified Version. It says, "Beloved, let us unselfishly love and seek the best for one another. For love is from God. And everyone who loves others is born of God and knows God through personal experience. The one who does not love has not become acquainted with God, does not and never did know him. For God is love. He is the originator of love, and it is an enduring attribute of his nature." An enduring attribute of his nature. See, God doesn't just walk in love. God is love. It's in his DNA. Have you ever heard somebody say, "Well, you know, I just can't help doing, you know, blank. It's just who I am. It's just how I was born," right? That's how God is. God is love. It's in his DNA. He just can't help it. It's just who he is. He can't do anything but love because it simply is who he is. It's in his very DNA. He is the creator, the originator, and it is enduring. You know that enduring, endurance. We know that when we have endurance, that it gets, no matter if it gets tough, it gets hard, you just keep going. That's how God's love is. When it gets tough, when it gets hard, God's love just keeps going and going and going and going. And here's the great news. If we know that God, his very nature, his very makeup, he's the originator of love, he is love, he can't do anything but love. The great news is in Romans 5:5. I'm going to read that in the Amplified. It says, "Such hope in God's promise never disappoints us." I love this. "Because God's love, not a human love, not a conditional love, not man's love, but God's love has been abundantly poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has given to us," who was given to us. I love that. I love that. God's love has been abundantly poured into our hearts. And so therefore, we don't have an excuse, right? You know, some people say, "Oh, well, I'm just impatient. I can't help it. It's just who I am." No, you can help it, because if you've been born again and you've been saved and you have God in your heart, then the love of God has been abundantly poured out in your heart. You take on his nature, so therefore it is your nature. And you don't have that excuse anymore, because God is love. God is love. You know, when we're spirit-led, then we will walk in that God kind of love. It's already there. You know, we don't have to try to make it happen. God's love is in our hearts. It has been abundantly poured out into us. But you know what? It's a daily choice whether we choose love or whether we choose our self nature and what feels good and what we want to do, right? It's simply a choice. Love is a choice. It's there, but you have to act on it. And it's enduring. What do we know about God's love? It's enduring in all circumstances and situations. It's not conditional, but it is, goes beyond condition, goes beyond anything, any hurt, any word that is said to it. God's love is so abundant. Amen? And that is in us. So we have to choose. We have to choose. Now, aren't you glad that God helps us? Amen? Aren't you glad? You know, love is a choice. And so we're going to read a little bit about love. All right? So let's go over to Ephesians 5, verse 1 and 2. I'm going to read this in the Amplified. I just love, you know, sometimes in the Amplified, it just really expounds upon it and it puts it in a different light. And maybe there's a word that really connects with us. So we're going to look a lot in the Amplified this morning. Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, become imitators of God. Copy him and follow his example. Aren't you glad for a good example? Aren't you glad for the word of God that is full of examples on the God kind of love and how to walk in love in our daily life? Copy him and follow his example as well-beloved children imitate their father and walk continually in love. Now, how do we walk continually in love? That is, value one another, practice empathy and compassion, unselfishly seeking the best for others. Just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God, slain for you so that it became a sweet fragrance. So this scripture tells us how to continually walk in love. We need to value one another, practice empathy and compassion, and unselfishly seek the best for others. So let's look at this. I would call this the qualities of love. So love first, it values one another. It values one another. It doesn't use people, doesn't treat people like trash. You know, when you value something, what do? You take care of it. You nurture it. You make sure it's safe. You make sure, you know, everything's okay with it. How many of you have ever gotten a new car? Anybody gotten a new car? All right. You know, you get that new car and, you know, you get in and it has that brand new car smell, right? It's like the best smell ever. And, you know, it's so shiny. It doesn't have any scratches, any dents, you know, and you value that, right? Because you paid a lot of money for it. And so you value it. So when you get a new car, what do? You know, you wash it. You know, you don't let your kids bring like food in it because it's going to smell like food. They're going to get crumbs everywhere. You know, you don't let them bring their sippy cups in there because it's going to drip everywhere. You clean it out. You value it, right? You take care of it. That's what love does. It values others. It takes care of others. It makes sure that they're okay. It looks after them. And we should be displaying that to other people. Empathy, what else it says? It says right here, love values one another. It practices empathy and compassion. What is empathy, you may say? So the definition of empathy simply is you relate to someone else's pain. Empathy doesn't mean that you agree, but that you relate to their pain. You relate to their pain. Now, I see this all over social media, and it is so sad to me. Somebody will, you know, put up a post that, you know, they're struggling with or their opinion or of something. And man, I mean, people are commenting on there like, well, that's wrong. You shouldn't believe that. La, 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 la. You know, they're just slamming them. And they're not showing any type of empathy. You know, somehow, I don't know how this happened, but I feel like we've lost middle ground. We have taken sides, and it's either you're 100% for me or you're 100% against me. And if you disagree or say something that I don't like in any way, there is no middle ground. There's no room for empathy. You are just wrong, and I am going to tell you all about how wrong that you are. I don't see that as love. Where's the love in that? You know, I don't always agree with everybody, but I'm not disagreeable with them. I don't say rude and mean things to them. I say, hey, you know what? Like, I don't see that, but you know, hey, let's talk about that. Like, I love you. Let's talk about that. I want to understand. We've lost that middle ground. We've lost our empathy. And it says right here that love practices empathy and compassion. You know, Empathy is not shaming others when they can't perform to the level that you would. You know, I often find myself checking myself if I'm saying to somebody else, well, you should do this and you should do that. That's very shaming. That's not loving. That's thinking of myself more highly than I ought. Well, I would do this or you should do this. And I start to check myself. You know, a few months ago, I was on a committee. I was the head of a committee. It was at my son's school, and we needed a lot of help. And so I went to this one person, and you know, I asked her for her help, and she said, "Okay, you know, I'll help you." Well, about 2 weeks in, she called me and she said, "You know what? I'm sorry, Denise. I just can't help you anymore." I said, "Oh, okay. Well, you know, what's wrong? You know, has something changed? Did I do something to upset you?" She said, "Oh, no. You don't understand. I work full time, and I just don't have time to work full time and volunteer." Well, inside, I was like, well, I work full-time too, but I'm actually heading this committee. You know, that's what I wanted to respond, but you know what? That's not empathy. That's not love. That's not practicing empathy and compassion. And I said, "You know what? I totally understand that. This just may not be a season that you're able to extend yourself. Hey, no problem at all. Thank you for letting me know, and I'll be praying for you that you're strengthened during this time." That's love. That's practicing empathy and compassion. And no, I didn't go talk about her behind her back and say, "Well, you won't believe that, you know, this mom, blah, 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 blah." Right? You know, because we're all in a different place. We can all handle different things. And just because I can handle something and have more capacity doesn't mean that somebody else has to have that same capacity. Right? We are all weak at times and we're all strong at times. But practicing that love, so empathy. Compassion, what is compassion? The New Testament and the Gospels talk a lot about compassion. Compassion is this. Compassion is a feeling that arises when confronted with another's suffering, and it motivates you to relieve it. Now, how many times in the Gospels does it say Jesus was moved with compassion? And then he healed the sick, right? He was moved with that compassion. He was confronted with another person's suffering, and he had the power to relieve it, and so he did. Amen. Let's read over in Matthew 9, verse 36. Let me turn over here. We want to imitate God, right? We want to imitate Jesus, and he is a great example of moving in compassion. It says, when he, Jesus, saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields." You know, we quote that scripture all the time. You know, pray for laborers. But what motivated Jesus to say that was compassion and love. You know, when we see a hurt person, when we see an unsaved person, we should be moved with compassion. And you know, we have the answer to help them, not to judge them, not to shame them, but to help them and love on them. That's what love is. And then let's go back to that Ephesians 5. So walk continually in love, that is, value one another, practice empathy and compassion, and unselfishly seek the best for others. You know, when you're unselfishly seeking the best for others, that takes sacrifice on your part. That takes sacrifice. Sacrifice is basically putting aside what you want for somebody else. Putting aside what you want, what you think is best, what's best for you, for somebody else. And that's what Jesus did. When Jesus came to this earth and died on the cross for us, that was a sacrifice that he did because he loved us so much. It wasn't what was best for him, but it was best for us so that we could live eternally with the Father in heaven, you know? Sacrifice, putting aside your desires, your wants. You know, I lived this out, and sacrifice isn't easy. I'm just going to tell you, it's really, really hard, and it's contrary to, you know, what you want, because we all kind of want what's best for ourselves, right? Well, I know I grew up with my father, and he traveled. He was gone the big majority of the time until I was 13 years old when he started Rhema Bible Church. And so most of my childhood, he was always gone. And I was very much a daddy's girl, and I missed him tremendously. And I remember the nights laying in bed and crying and just wanting my dad to be there. So, you know, whenever I got married and had kids, I did not want a husband that and a father that traveled because, you know, I mean, my dad did the very best to be there for me and he was there for all the important stuff. But I know as a kid how much I miss my dad being there. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to marry somebody and they're not going to travel. They're just going to like be there. Well, when my youngest son was 4 and my oldest son was 7, my husband had this great job, but in this great job, he kept on getting promoted, which is awesome, except for with every promotion, he had to travel more and more and more and more until the last year that he actually traveled, he logged 265 nights in a hotel out of 365, a lot. And so, you know, at first I didn't mind, but then, you know, it really, because I had gone through that when I was a kid, when, you know, when my boys would say, well, I miss daddy, I want daddy to be here. Why can't daddy be at football practice? Why can't daddy put on my shoulder pads? You know, if daddy were here, he would, you know, play catch with me. And so that just literally broke my heart, and I would cry and cry and cry. But you know what? As I was crying out to the Lord one day, you know, he said, Denise, walking in love is sacrifice, and this is a sacrifice that you need to make in order to support your husband. And he said, don't worry about it. I'll take care of you and the boys. Now, was that easy on a day-to-day basis? No, it wasn't easy raising, you know, 2 boys, and my husband was gone a lot. But you know what? God was always faithful and he was always there, and I sacrificed and put my husband's needs above my own. That's love. That's hard, but that's love. That's the God kind of love. And you know what? Along the way, I learned how to throw a football spiral. Because my youngest son actually taught me because he wanted to play catch. I learned how to throw a baseball. I learned how to do all kinds of things that I never would have done if my husband would have been there. So, you know, it was great. There were some advantages to it too. But, you know, that is love. That is love. And that's what love looks like. It's not always easy. And it is in direct opposition to our flesh. All right? Our flesh, our human nature just wants to be selfish. It's all about us, what is good for us. It's self-seeking. It's rude. It's angry. It wants to lash out, right? And that's why, you know what, when non-Christian people, when people who don't know Jesus, when they're rude and mean and ugly and say and do all kinds of nasty things, it doesn't bother me at all. I'm like, well, why would they? Why would they walk in love? Why would they be kind? Why would they be nice? Because they don't know Jesus. The love of God hasn't been shed abroad in their hearts. The love of God hasn't been poured into their hearts. They're just doing what a normal person would do without Jesus, right? Don't, you know, I don't think a thing about it. But Christian people, a spirit-led people, when we're rude and mean and selfish and angry and making all kinds of gestures and judgments and, you know, post online, when we do that, I have a really hard time with that because we have the love of God in our hearts. We should know better. We should act better because we should act in love. You know, and so let's read about that. Let's read about the sinful nature, the flesh nature, and let's read about God's nature. Let's read in Galatians, let's read first Galatians 5. Let me get there. Let's do Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 first. All right. I'm going to read this in the Passion Translation. Okay. And this is our fleshly nature. This is what, without God, this is what we are like. And it's not a pretty picture, so I apologize in advance. It says, the cravings of the self-life are obvious. Sexual immorality, lustful thoughts, pornography, chasing after things instead of God, manipulating others, hatred of those who get in your way, senseless arguments, aka Facebook, resentment when others are favored, temper tantrums, angry quarrels, only thinking of yourself, being in love with your own opinions. Being envious of the blessings of others, murder, uncontrolled addictions, wild parties, and all other similar behavior. That's what the self life gets us. That's definitely not the picture of how I want to live my life. I don't know about you. And those are some pretty hard things in there. You know, of course, we think the obvious things, you know, of the sinful nature, you know, the lust and all that kind of stuff. But when you get down to senseless arguments and angry quarrels and being in love with your own opinion, those are the things that'll make you think, right? Right? But that's how we act without the love of God in our hearts and without choosing love. But the good news is that we don't have to be like that. Our lives don't have to be like that because we do have the love of God. And so let's look at, read on down in there, Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is this: divine love in all its varied expressions, joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart and strength of spirit. Never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless. Limitless. No matter how others treat you, no matter what others say to you, these qualities right here, produced in us by the Holy Spirit through God's love, should be limitless in us. And we need to walk in that. You know, I encourage you, read that every day. Insert your name in there, you know. Denise has a joy that overflows. Denise has peace that subdues. Denise has patience that endures. Insert your name in there. Make it personal. And what I know about the Word of God is that it's living and it's active. And when you quote it over yourself, when you read it daily, when those challenges come against you and you start to react in your sinful fleshly nature, what is going to come out, what you put in, and you're going to be able to act upon the love of God that is already on the inside of you. You know, you should quote that over yourself. You should say it over yourself, you know, I always walk in love. I always walk in love. I always do the right thing. Man, I'm so patient. Oh, I'm so kind. I'm so loving. You know, how would it look different if we did those types of things? And you know what? At first, sometimes it's really hard because you're like, all right, I'm really patient. I'm patient. And you know, you're just gritting your teeth and you're like, you know, when your kids are driving you nuts and they keep touching you. I don't know what it is about kids that want to touch you all the time. Like, mom, 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 mom. I'm like, what? You know? But the more you do it, the more you make that love choice, the easier it is. You know, you have to train yourself. It's just the sinful nature is what is natural to us, right? It's what is in our born DNA, but we have a new DNA because we have been bought into the family of God and we have His DNA, which is love. And it's, you know, it's kind of like exercise. When you first start exercising, oh man, you know, it's difficult. You make every excuse not to, why you can't do it. You know, you get really sore and you're like, you can't walk the next day. But you know, the more that you exercise, the better you get at it, the less sore you get. You know, I don't know if it ever becomes fun. Maybe, I don't know, that's a stretch. But you know, you get better at it, right? And it's the same thing with walking in love. The more that you make that choice, the more that you train yourself, the easier that it becomes, the easier that it becomes. I want to read 1 Corinthians 13, verses 3 through 7. I'm going to read it in the Message Bible. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel, takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with anything, trusts God always. Love always looks for the best. Love never looks back. Love keeps going to the end. That's the God kind of love, and it's in us. And that's what we should be doing daily and showing others daily. Because what if this thing, this whole thing, Christian thing, this whole thing that we do every day that we've given our lives for, what if it's not about us? What if it's not how much God can bless us? But what if it's all about how much that we can love others? How would your life look different? How would my life look different if we walked in love? If we walked in love to Christians as well as non-Christians. Because it's really about people. God came to seek and to save the lost. God so loved the world that He gave. That He gave. You know, I never will forget, my husband and I had moved to Austin, Texas to start a church. And our neighbors across the street, they were a couple. They had kids around the same age as our kids, so they played together all the time. And it was quickly evident by the way that this couple talked and acted that they weren't Christ followers, you know? But I chose, and my husband, we chose to love on them. And no matter what they did, no matter what they said, no matter if they were rude, one time their child burnt my youngest son with candle wax, could have gotten really mad, but I just walked in love with it. I showed the love of God. And they knew that we were pastors. They knew what we did. And so it was a year of sowing just love and love and love into this family. And one day we were sitting there, our kids were playing at the park, and the wife said, you know, I've never ever held a Bible in my hand. I don't even know what it looks like. I don't know anything about the Bible or about God. Can you please tell me? And I said, absolutely. And so the door was open after a year of sowing seeds of just love, just loving on them how they were. never, you know, getting angry, never expecting anything of them, never judging them when they did all their things, just loving them. And I was able to lead her to the Lord. And I was able to give her her very first Bible. Think about that. Somebody living in Austin, Texas, had never even held a Bible. It was because of love. But what if I wouldn't have chosen love? What if I wouldn't have chosen love? And you know, with our fellow Christian, you know, how often, you know, when somebody sitting right beside us or behind us, you know, they mess up, they make a mistake. What if instead of criticizing them, all, you know, you should have done this, or you shouldn't have been looking at this, or, well, if you would have been doing this, if you would have been in three services every week, this wouldn't have happened. Instead of judging them and blaming them, what about if we chose to walk in love? And what about if we chose to say, hey, you know what? It's okay. It's okay. It's just a mistake. Hey, God forgives you. Hey, come on, let's get up, let's go. What about with our teenagers and our young adults? When they make dumb mistakes, because they're dumb. They're young, you know what I'm saying? I mean, what kind of choices did you make when you were 15, 17, 20, 22? Probably not some smart ones, right? What about it, instead of being so hard on them? What would church look like if we went to those teenagers and young adults and said, hey, it's okay. It's okay. Give me your hand. Hey, you know what? I know how to get there. Come on, I'll walk with you. I'll walk with you. Come on, I'll help you. And we showed them how to live a victorious life in Christ. How would our church look different? How would our world look different? My challenge to you today, it's nothing earth-shattering, nothing big. It's simply to choose love. It's simply to walk in love, choose to value others, to have compassion, to have empathy, and to sacrifice what you want for other people. Basically, don't be a jerk. It's not that hard, right? To choose love. Because what I know and what you know is that when we choose love, our families will look different, our marriages will change, our relationships will change. And our whole world will change, and we'll be able to minister to people and reach people simply by making one choice, and that is to walk in love. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the love that you have poured abundantly in our hearts. Father, that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And Father, thank you that you have shown us by example in your word how to live the God kind of life, how to walk in love. Thank you for all the attributes of love. Father, thank you that you are love, and because we know you, our DNA is love. And Father, right now, we just want to commit to walk in love. Father, just forgive us for not being patient and kind and loving. Forgive us, God, for being judgmental and argumentative and angry with people. God, we want to choose love. And Father, today we are going to choose that very simple choice of love. And Father, help us on a daily basis to choose love, to choose compassion, to choose kindness. Lord, the next time that we're in a situation where we could choose to walk in the flesh or we can choose to walk in love, Holy Spirit, we just give you permission to just check us on the inside and bring back to our remembrance today and what we've learned. And Father, what we're committing to you is that we will choose love. We will choose love. And Father, today, if there's anybody in here that they can't walk in love, they can't choose love because they've never accepted love, they've never accepted you, Father, we ask that they would come to know you. And I just want to ask this morning, if there's anybody in here who's never accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, let me tell you, it is the best decision you will ever make. It'll change your life. It will set you free. You will experience joy and peace and love like never before. So if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you want to do that today, I'm going to ask you to do something really simple. I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand and just say, I want to do that today. I want to ask Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Or number two, maybe you've asked Jesus in your heart, and maybe it's you've walked away from the Father and you're living a life that you know is not right. It doesn't line up with the Word of God. You've been living in sin and just doing your own thing and doing life your own way. But you want to come back to the Lord and say, hey, God, I'm surrendering to you and I want to do life your way. If that's you and you want to just recommit to Jesus today, I'd like you to lift your hand. I'd like you to lift your hand right now. Thank you for that hand. Thank you. Thank you. I see all those hands. Thank you. My very last invitation today, maybe you know God, you're serving him, you love him, but you've never accepted the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. There's a subsequent gift that is for all believers. And that is the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Basically, it's just a prayer language. It's just a language between you and God. Only God understands it, and it brings you such power. And it is just amazing, and it changes your life. And God wants you to have that gift. He wants every believer to have that gift. And so if you don't speak in tongues and you want to today, you want to have that special language just between you and God, that prayer language, I'd like you to raise your hand. We want you to have that today. It's here for you. Anybody on that invitation? I see that hand. I tell you what, I'd like everybody just to stand right now. If you raised your hand, or if you wanted to raise your hand, I'm going to ask you to do one more thing for me. It might be a little difficult and scary, but you will never, ever regret it. I want you to come right down front, and I want you to meet me. And I just want to pray with you, pray for you, because I want to make sure that you get what you came down here for. And so just come on down. It might be a long walk, but it'll be the best walk you've ever made.
Jesus is waiting. Open arms. So come just as you are.
Don't be afraid. Turn to the person next to you. There were several hands that were raised. Turn to the person next to you and say, hey, will you come down with me? Jesus is waiting for you.
Jesus is waiting.
Don't miss out. Don't miss out.
So come.
Don't miss out.
Just
come on down. Anybody else? I know that there were more hands that are raised. Some coming over here. We're going to wait for them. It's a long walk, but it's the best walk. We just want to wait right here. And then we have some books for you.
So just
I know it can be a little scary in front of all these people, but it's the best walk that you've ever made. And whether you came down here to recommit or to receive the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, it's going to be the best thing that you've ever done. And it's really easy to receive that. I just have three simple books here. If I were to say, I want to give you these books, what would you do? Just reach out and get them. You're going to get those same ones in just a second, okay? That's all you have to do. The gifts come from God. He's the one who gives them to you. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to pray for you. And then we have a prayer room where there's people that just want to pray with you. You're going to get those same books. And they're going to make sure that if you came down to receive the Holy Spirit, that you have your prayer language, or they'll pray with you for whatever you need. Okay, so let's just pray. Congregation, reach your hand out. Heavenly Father, I just thank you right now for these that came today, Father. And I just ask you that you would meet every single one of their needs, Father, that whatever they came down here for, Father, that you will meet them and that you will change them, and their lives will never, ever be the same. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This is Greg and Christy, and they're our prayer ministers today. If you both just want to go with them, and they're going to pray with you, and they're going to get you those books, all right? All right. Thank y'all so much. Congregation, let's give them a hand. It's what it's all about right there. Amen. It's all about people getting what they need from Jesus. Jesus is the answer for everything that we could ever want, we could ever need. Amen. Amen. Well, what are we going to do this week? We're going to walk in love. We're going to choose love. Amen. Amen. Well, don't forget, tonight at 6 p.m., Pastor Tad's going to be ministering. And if there's any first-time guests, Connection Team members, will you grab them? If you're a first-time guest, we have a little gift for you at our Connection Center right in the North Lobby. Connection Team, if you will take them. And you guys have a wonderful afternoon. We will see you back here tonight at 6 p.m. and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. God bless you. Have a great day.